Well, today I'd like to share a story with you. It's a story about Brother Barney and Sister Sue. Brother Barney was a really good, upstanding man in the church. He was in his late 50s. You know, he had raised three children and they had gone off to college and they were out in the world. He was married for like 37 years. And, you know, things were going really good in his life until one day. And there was Sister Sue. Sister Sue was a lifetime member of the women's gospel choir. And she loved her women's ministry events. And, you know, she was a widow. Her husband had passed away about 7 years before. And Sister Sue played an important part in these happenings. Brother Barney was approached by the pastor one day, and the pastor said to him, Brother Barney, I really need to talk to you about some things that have been going on. And Brother Barney said, oh, Pastor, I'm so glad to hear that. But before I tell you that part of the story, you need to know how we got there. Because oftentimes the pastor gets to come in after some things have happened, right? One day, Sister Sue was on her way downtown to have her hair done, and she happened to notice at 7 o'clock in the morning, Brother Barney's truck was parked in front of the local watering hole. She thought, well, that's awful early to be at the bar. So later that day, as she was doing her rounds and she was on her way to one of her ministry events, it was about 9:30 at night, and she noticed Brother Barney's truck was parked yet again in front of the watering hole. Well, that was on Tuesday. On Wednesday, she went shopping, and Barney's truck was there at 11 o'clock. And on Thursday, she goes by again, and now it's 4:30 in the evening, and there's Brother Barney's car in front of the local watering hole. Well, don't you think on Sunday when she got to church, everybody knew that Brother Barney was at the watering hole for three consecutive days at any given time during the day? Well, the following week, Sister Sue was on her way to a reading at the library, and the library happens to be on the opposite side of town where things get a little seedy. And she happened to be driving past a place known in their town as a house of ill repute. And wouldn't you know it, there's Brother Barney's truck. Well, the next day, she thought, I wonder. So instead of going her normal route to the Wise Markets, she decided to take a scenic tour. It was about 6 o'clock in the evening, and guess what she found? Brother Barney's truck parked in front of the house of ill repute. So needless to say, on Sunday, everybody knew that Brother Barney was visiting the house of ill repute. Well, finally, this was more than the pastor could stand because Brother Barney was on the deacon board. Brother Barney was on the evangelism ministry. Brother Barney was supposed to be a happily married man. And so the pastor just had to do something about these horrible things that Brother Barney was doing. So Brother Barney says to the pastor as he made an inquiry, he said, you know, he said, this past 3 weeks have just been horrendous. He said, you know, 2 weeks ago, my truck broke down. I had to order the parts, and it, you know, it sat downtown, right in the middle of town. He said, it took 3 days, but I finally got the parts, and my neighbor, Jed, he helped me pull it out of there on Friday. The pastor just looked. He said, yeah, he said, and that's not the worst of it. He said, that old truck just keeps getting worse. He said, the next week, he said, we were actually downtown having a ministry to the people on the other side of the tracks. You know, we were handing out tracks. We were giving out food. We were bringing the supplies that we always bring. And wouldn't you know it, my truck broke down over there on that side of town. He said, and that's way over on the other side. And again, I had to get parts. He said, and thankfully, Brother Tom helped me pull it home after sitting there for 3 days. He said, you're kidding. He said, no. He said, and that truck of mine keeps breaking down. He said, you wouldn't believe it. Just 2 days ago, my truck broke down late in the evening. It was about 9:30, but praise God, it broke down right in front of Sister Sue's house. The tongue is a mighty powerful thing. The tongue can build, and the tongue can tear down. It is amazing how powerful the tongue is. Today, we're going to learn about building the kingdom with our words. However, I'm going to start with where most of the church is, because most of the church, as we look out there in the world, we find that the church is so quick to tear down. And God has a word to speak to us about our tongues, and it's a word that I dare say you're not going to like, but it's a word that needs to be spoken nonetheless, because God has spoken it to us. So if you would, open your scriptures to the book of James. It's where we're going to begin. We're going to begin in James in the first chapter. James in the first chapter. Did you notice in that story, I didn't have to tell you how it ended, right? We all know how it ended, right? It just so amazes me how these things have a way of working themselves out if we will allow God into our lives to show us just where we are. But God has a word to show us so that we don't have to get there. Praise His name. From the 26th verse of chapter 1, we read these words from the word of our Lord. It says, if anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. James chapter 1, verse 26. If anyone thinks himself to be a righteous man and yet does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. What is that saying to us? The very things we speak, we believe, don't we? That's what this is saying to us. The very things we speak, we believe. So many times I've heard people say, oh, well, but you don't understand. I said that in anger. I said that in haste. The truth is, you believe that, or it would not have come out of your mouth. It is a statement of mind and a statement of being. The mouth does not operate on its own. I have never seen someone's mouth operate by itself without the person behind it directing it. I don't think that can happen. So when we throw out the buts and excuses, all we're trying to do is get our fat out of the fire, aren't we? But we need to remember, we already created the fire. There's a story that goes something like this. A gentleman had spread a vicious rumor. He spread a gossip. And he realized afterwards that it wasn't true. So he went to his pastor and he said, Pastor, you know, I need to do something. I need to do something. Please help me. What can I do to you know, make this right? And the pastor said to him, he said, well, what I want you to do, Brother Tom, he said, I want you to go out to your chicken house and I want you to pull down from your chicken, he said, and then I want you to fill a pillowcase with it. Then I want you to go out And to every person who heard that, I want you to lay one of those feathers on their front porch. He said, and then come see me. So the guy went and he plucked this poor chicken. Goes to every house in the neighborhood because, you know, this thing had gotten around. You know how good gossip spreads. It goes quick. And he puts a feather on every porch. And the pastor says, now, I want you to go back. He said, because you're not done. I want you to go back and now collect those feathers. The guy looks at him and says, Pastor, that's impossible. He said, it's a windy day. It's March. He said, those feathers have all blown away. He says, and so it is with your words. Once they've gotten out, they cannot be collected back up. And we have to remember that that is a truth that God is giving us. Turn in your Bibles to the book of James. James 3. So we're only over a page or two. James 3, beginning in the third verse. And this tells me something when I start thinking about this. There were several scriptures that I could have brought in here to speak about this. In fact, we're going to look at just a few of them. But this is one of the larger ones. It says, now we put bits into horses' mouths so that they will obey us. We direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and sets on fire and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Or can salt water produce fresh? Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show it by his good behavior, his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes from down from above, but is earthly, natural, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy, and the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Blessed be the word of our Lord. When we understand that the tongue of each and every man can bring forth the reality of destruction, I'm not talking about, you know, being hurt a little bit. I'm talking destruction. Tearing down to the point that there is nothing left. That is how strong our tongues are. And as we come into this time of Lent, into a time of healing, I want us to understand that as Christ-like ones, as Christians, our tongues are meant to be a place of healing. That healing comes from us, and from others' tongue comes healing to us. But in our world, we find that the opposite is quite true. I mean, you know, I want you all to think back. It wasn't just that long ago we went through a presidential election. That was so much fun. The things that were being said, the way the commentators spoke of those who were against their agenda. I could not believe the things I was hearing on the national news in the United States of America. Talk about bigots and hypocrites. The things that I saw being spoken of were atrocities. But what do we expect from the world? We ought to expect more from Christians, though, correct? But yet we find ourselves in the midst of these things, spreading these very things. Like a fire, once it gets rolling, it gets rolling. Boy, we like that good, juicy stuff, don't we? Because anything that tears somebody else down makes me look not so bad. Do you realize that we will all give an account before Christ of every word we have ever spoken? Every word we have ever spoken. How many of us are going to stand before Him and smile about all the words we've spoken? If we took the words of negativity, the words of criticism, and weighed them against the positive words that we have spoken about other people, where would the scale come in? If we're honest, where would the scale come in? Because generally when people are good, when people are kind, when people are courteous, we just nod and shake our head and we don't say anything about it. But boy, let the littlest thing happen and we'll spread that like wildfire. That's the evil one moving in on our territory, and we need not to let it happen. And another thing I'm going to tell you, and this so amazes me, because I want you to think about this. There's another story. I love these stories, okay? I love stories. There's a story about Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa was listening to someone, and this person was complaining and bitterly expounding about somebody else, okay? And Mother Teresa stopped her, and she said, "May I ask you a question?" She said, "Yeah." She said, "If you have a gift for someone and that person does not receive it, will not receive it, will not accept it, who does the gift belong to?" "Well, then it belongs to the giver." "Very well then," she says, "I choose not to receive your talk. Please keep it to yourself." Woo! How many of us ought walk in such a manner? How many of us ought speak those things of truth one to another? Okay? We need to remember that when somebody starts spouting off and it's not a good thing, we need to ask them, please keep it to yourself. You don't need to spread this. You don't need to share this because we don't need to know it. Now, if you want to speak a word of encouragement, if you want to build the church up, if you want to lift someone up, please do so. Because every time we speak a word like that, we are putting up walls between ourselves and the person that's being spoken against. And that's something, especially within the church, that we've got to constantly be jumping over that hurdle. But the more times we hear negative things, the higher the walls get to the point where we can't get over them anymore. Think about Brother Barney. The first week, it was bad enough that he was at the bar, okay? 3 days at any time during the day. But on the second week, when he was noted to be at the House of Ill Repute, how many people do you think welcomed Brother Barney at church on Sunday? And how many people avoided Brother Barney because they didn't want to have to deal with that? That's what happens within our own churches. We get to the point where we start to isolate ourselves. Instead of being a community of believers, we become pockets of isolated individuals because we know a little bit of something or think we know a little bit of something, and we give lies power and we give deceit power rather than giving God glory and raising up a person. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if you knew the things that I think and the things that I speak behind the driving wheel, Ruth's looking at me because she's been there with me and so has Marion. I have to watch my mouth in front of these young ladies. Because Pastor has a bad habit. I love to drive. I just hate other people on the road. But if you knew truly the things that I think and some of the things that I say, my wife's there, she hears it. My son used to speak to me in the car, you know, we're driving down the road, and he would say, "Oh, okay, Pastor." You know, your family's allowed to do that. And it would constantly cut me to the quick. And I'm constantly having to learn from it. And I dare say that you know, many of you here would probably think, "Whoa, and he's our pastor." Well, yeah. And I'm still on the road to recovery. I'm a work in process. And so are we all. But it's my prayer that when it comes to the house of the Lord, we'll be able to look at these things a whole lot better. I mean, you know, let's face it, when you're behind a wheel and you've got a 4,000 to 8,000 pound vehicle underneath of you and something happens, you get a little scared, okay? Whitey's over there saying, "That ain't even my rear axle." You know, for these professional drivers out there. And I want you to think about that, because you may be driving a 4,000 pounder, but somebody like Whitey is driving a 60,000 pounder. And they just can't move those things on a dime. We need to be careful when we're out there, and we need to be careful with our words. Because I'll tell you right now, kingdoms have been lost because of a tongue. Kingdoms have been lost because of a tongue. I want you to look at a specific word for me, because I want you to understand just what God thinks about the tongue and what I'm speaking of. Turn in your Bibles to Titus 2. Turn in your Bibles to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2 and verse 3. Titus chapter 2 and verse 3. Now, we're going to get into this, and I need to say this beforehand. Ladies, I'm not picking on you. God has. Okay? I'm putting it plainly. I'm not picking on you. God has. God's, you know, this is God's word. And we're going to deal with it, and we're going to look at this in truth, because I want us also to understand that if a word can be used towards both genders, should it be? The answer to that's yes. Okay? If it's sauce for the goose, it's sauce for the gander. All right? That's an old Pennsylvania Dutch saying. I don't know if many of you know that. This is what the word says. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good. The word I want you to look at there is malicious gossips. Do you know what that word is in the Greek? Do you have any idea what that word is in the Greek? In the Greek, that word is diabolos. Diabolos. Do you hear it? Diabolos. What word do we get from diabolos? Devil. The very word devil. Why? Because the devil is a slanderer. That's the word. That's the better interpretation of that word. Slanderer. Okay? And when we are speaking slander out of our mouths, we are doing the very thing Satan himself is doing and is called. We are aligning ourselves with him in his realm, in his power. Because remember, he's the father of lies. He's the father of deceit. He's the father of deception. He's the father of slander. So when we think about that word, and ladies, I'm not picking on you, because guess what? Not only does this apply to guys because it can, but God literally tells us in the book of James, I just wanted to take you somewhere else, okay? But in the book of James 4 and 11, it says that none of us are to slander, okay? It doesn't make a male or a female separatists. It says no one is to slander. Because when we slander, we become aligned with Satan himself. We become diabolos. And I really want you to think about what that means in your life. You are giving evil a root. When you give evil a root, guess what that root does to you? It tears you down. It does not build you up. It tears you down. And I want you to think about just what that means in your life and in the life of your family and everything else. You know, sometimes we wonder why things are falling apart in our family, why this is happening, why that's happening. Have you ever stopped and stepped back and looked at your words, your comments? I can remember growing up, and this is a truth, and I'm not picking on my parents. I love my parents. They're both in glory. My father accepted Christ 3 months before he died, and my mother walked in the Lord for years, okay? I wish she walked stronger, but her faith was a very immature faith, but I know I'm going to see her in glory. But my dad was not always a Christian, okay? Like I said, 3 months before he passed. And my dad would say things to me like, "You're stupid. You're never going to amount to anything. You're worthless." I mean, I heard those comments all my life growing up. All my life growing up. And my dad wondered why I became such a problem child. Well, you told me I was worthless. You told me I was stupid. You told me I was never going to amount to anything. So I had real high goals to achieve to, didn't I? The very words we speak out of our mouths carry power. Why is that? Here's the truth, and I want you to get this. We are eternal beings. We have been given strength because we are eternal beings. We are either being eternally damned or eternally blessed. And if we are eternally damned, we have the power to damn others. Do you know that? I want you to think about that. And if we are being eternally blessed, we have the power through the Holy Spirit to eternally bless people. We have the power to change people's lives, including our own. So in the church, we need to determine, are we going to tear down or are we going to build up? What is the power of the tongue? And can it be harnessed? Well, the answer to that is yes. It can be harnessed when we take captive every thought in Christ Jesus. Amen? And as we begin to take captive those thoughts, we can begin to see how things change. I want to give you an example. Because my sermon's over. I'm watching my time. Because next week, we're going to look at how we build the kingdom, because this is how we tear it down. But today I want to give you an example of how we build the kingdom. Okay? Yesterday, was it, honey? I went to Lowe's. And it was about 8 o'clock at night. And I get into Lowe's down there. And how many of you know Troy Williams? Troy Williams, he is the director of the LCCM, okay? We are partners with the LCCM. Troy Williams, wonderful guy, love him, okay? He's in Lowe's, and he's talking to a gentleman about having a part fixed. He needs to get a part fixed, and this guy's leading him astray, has no idea, and so Troy says, okay, thank you, I'll have to figure something else out. And, you know, I was there. Troy was very gracious to the gentleman, didn't condemn him. You know, he just understood that the gentleman really wasn't getting the gist of what he was trying to do. So he was a little frustrated, thanked him, and said, I'll have to figure something else out. Well, many of you know I'm a machinist by trade, okay? I am a pastor by call. Please understand that. I'm a machinist by trade. So Troy is standing there, and he comes walking by me because I wanted to say hi when I saw him, but he was interacting with this gentleman. So I said to him, Troy, I said, what do you need? Oh, Pastor, you know, I got this broken part. I said, Troy, I wasn't always a preacher. I said, I was a machinist for 20 years. I said, can I see your part? And he just looked at me. He handed it to me. And I said, oh, here's what you want to do. Bop, 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 bop. And he said, oh, I don't know that I have any of those tools. I said, guess what? I do. I put it in my pocket. I said, I need your phone number so I can call you when I have it finished. He just looked at me. He said, are you serious? I said, certainly. Gave me his phone number. I went home. 3 minutes later, I was calling him. He said, you're kidding. I said, no, it's done. Where can I meet you? He said, well, it's a part to the church. We have a TV that's going up on the wall, and it's broke, and you know, we can't put this up until we... I can't believe you got it fixed already. I said, yeah. So I drove down to Faith Fellowship, down by Dairy Queen, on the other end of town. He and his wife were in there. She met me for the first time. I met her for the first time. And he just gloried in the Lord. He said, I can't believe this. He said, we were looking so forward to, they're redoing that room, putting his new TV up, repainted the whole thing. And we were just so hoping to have everything together so that Sunday morning, everything would be together and we could present the whole room to everybody. He said, and now we can. I said, to God be the glory. Well, but Pastor, do we owe you anything? I said, what are you kidding? I said, don't we work for the same God? I said, don't we have the same boss? Isn't this the same kingdom? Well, yeah. I said, share God's divine appointment with your people and let them know how God met us in the middle of Home Depot and made all this good stuff happen. Because God has divine appointments. And all we did was encourage one another and lift each other up. And that's what I'm doing right now is lifting him up, lifting up the kingdom of Jesus Christ and lifting up the glory of God. Can I share a stacking story with you real quick? You sure we won't push the time a little bit? Okay. No, we can't do that. Because I've been preaching till past 12, and we need to be out of here before that. Last week, you all prayed for me. It was amazing because many of you have been praying and I was starting to feel better, but I still had this thing in my gut. And I'm telling you, whatever I had was bad because there were days that I could barely function. I mean, it was, you can ask Lynn and you can ask Russell. There were days that I could barely function. I was in pain. And when your gut's in pain, your whole body is just out of whack. And on Sunday, you folks prayed over me. Sundays, normally after the service, I go home and I crash for 2 hours, sometimes even a little more, depending on how much spirit there has been in the service and how much pastors put out. I laid down for a half an hour and I could not lay there any longer. The whole time I was like, what am I doing laying here? I got to get up. Oh my gosh, I got to get, what am I doing laying here? I got up. I have a 7,000-pound mill, okay? Now, many of you don't have any idea what that is. It's a milling machine. It weighs 7,000 pounds out in my garage. Some of you fellas helped me move it into my garage. Well, I lifted that sucker. I moved it. I put a new frame in underneath of it, got the old frame out from underneath of it. A week's worth of work I did in 7 hours, Sunday and Monday. I had more energy this week than I have ever had in months. I was so filled with the anointing. Right now, the anointing of the Lord is on me so great because you people prayed. Because you took the time to think of your pastor and call him out and lay hands on him, and I received that healing right here in this very room. And I went to the doctors on Thursday, and they found absolutely nothing in my gut. You did that work. You raised me up, and God heard your prayers and poured out from heaven. And I'm going to tell you right now, these are the kind of things that we need to hear. These are the kind of things that we need to share. Because when we build one another up, when we get behind one another and raise each other up, when we're speaking the good things of God, when we're speaking to God saying, raise up this broken person, not because the la, 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 la. Raise up this broken person because you love them, Lord. And we love them too, even in their broken state. God will meet us there and lift those people up. And in lifting them up, what has he done to us? He too has lifted us up. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Because he has heard your hearts, the cries of his people, and God moves. We need to understand that if God is here to heal the pastor, do you think he's here to heal the sheep? Excuse me, I'm just the first sheep in the flock. Because I'm the one looking to the shepherd and saying, yeah, it's this way. Come on. Yeah, it's this way. Come on. So I'm just the first to get it. There's more to come. And it's yours. We need to understand we're moving into an unprecedented time in history. A time in history that is spoken of in the book of Joel. A time of history that is spoken of in the book of Acts. Where God's going to pour out his spirit exponentially in those days upon his men and women. And are we going to receive it? But we need to be in tune with it, which means our tongue must be there as well. To speak the glories of God. If you see Brother Barney's truck sitting in front of the house of ill repute, go find Brother Barney and offer him a ride. Don't speak about where his truck's parked. Find out where he really is and give him what he needs. By this time, the letter that we have passed has been sent and received. A good letter. A letter of forgiveness. A letter of grace. A letter of mercy. So today I want to end with that thought that we are turning the tide and that our tongues will speak the joys of the Lord and nothing more. Would you join me in that? Rise up. Gracious Father, we pray that that letter has been received and been received well, that your glories would be given. That our brothers and sisters would know we love them. We love them. We love them. And we wish your glory in their lives. And Father, we pray that from this day forward, we will go into that glory, not looking back, not looking to the left nor to the right, but keeping our eyes focused on you, that you are the author and perfecter of our faith. So Lord, may our spirits enjoin yours, and may we seek the Father's will, and may we speak the Father's will into existence. In glory, Lord, that all power and dominion may be yours. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.